Hello, listeners. This is Greg Berger. I play the role of Kraven the Hunter, who wants to mount Spider-Man on the wall as my trophy. And also the role of Quentin Beck, Mysterio, master of special effects and treachery. Now I'm just Greg Berger again, reminding you that you are listening to Spider-Man, the Animated Series podcast. Enjoy.
Webheads, and welcome to another edition of Spider-Man, the Animated Series podcast. We're back! I feel like we say this every time because we take long breaks, but here's another episode for you. I'm your host, Alex Robson, and with me as always is my co-host, my brother, comic book artist, and all-around friendly neighborhood guy. It's Mr.
And writer.
Robson. Oh yeah, and writer! Shit, I never update that. Soundbite again, rewind, and it's all-around friendly neighborhood guy, comic book artist, and writer. It's Mr. Will Robson. Say hello, Will.
Thank you for the astute introduction. Yes, I am a writer as well as an artist. Good job.
Should we get very serious and be like, "Welcome to the show, Mr. Robson"? Please, please tell the audience, for those that don't know, your credentials in the comic book universe and what you have written and drawn.
Well, of course, you know, I'm a very busy man, so this is why we only release one of these every 6 months. Much like Shakespeare, I write very high-end things like vampires being hunted by Christmas demons and things like that.
Yes,
This bit is not funny at all. It's very unfunny, actually. So,
like my writing.
Yes, quite. It's as good as my writing. There you go.
Well, then let's go to the normal format of the show. How is the art life, which does keep us from being able to record as often as we would like? What's going on in your career right now?
I am currently drawing a book for a company that I'm working with for my first time ever, which I can't say who yet, I guess. I mean, I guess I could say I'm working for this company. No, I don't know if I can.
It's up to you. I'm not going to be the one that says yes, you can, because I have no say in this matter.
Because it's not like I'm saying the
didn't
book.
Didn't you
I'm
put it on your who. Twitter?
Not public. It mean. You could change stuff on Twitter without saying stuff.
Right. But it's there.
You know, I didn't have it. It's there.
Yeah. So maybe this is a great
anyway,
way to
I'm working
people.
For I'm working for one of the biggest comic book companies in the world.
Yes. And you've already
one
worked.
I haven't worked for
You've already worked for what? Marvel. You've already worked for Marvel, yes.
Yes. The company I'm working for is not Marvel. I'll just say that. How about that?
Yeah. So there's a couple more that are really big ones. And if people know you and know what you've done, there's only one big one left. And also, lead people to your Twitter. It's in your Twitter bio, so lead them there, and then you get some more followers. So what's your Twitter handle?
At Robson Inc., I-N-K.
That's right, and people can check it out. Yeah, you can't say what book you're working on there, but it's awesome that you're working for them.
Much to my wife's dismay, it's the only social media that I'm actually active on is Twitter.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what.
I don't like Instagram. I don't really use Facebook.
Well, speaking of all of that shit, I've got to fucking go to Twitter now. I used to be Mr. Facebook for the podcast, but they shut our page down, bud. Shut that shit down. I got a notification like 3 weeks ago. I had a bunch of listeners when I posted about this on Twitter saying that we shut the that Facebook shut the page down, and they're like, "Oh, I thought you blocked me." And I was like, "Why would I block you? Like, you're not sending me like bad content. You're one of our listeners. Like, you're not annoying." So yeah, Facebook, for whatever reason, we were apparently impersonating a brand, but we're Spider-Man the Animated Series.
Maybe yeah.
But we're the Animated Series podcast, and it says that, and it's a show, and it's there for that reason. So, apparently Facebook, since they went meta, have been really cracking down on a bunch of shit. So one of our pages was the target of that. So we're now only on Instagram.
Well, except for like organizing occupations of large government buildings, but Spider-Man the Animated Series is a no-no.
Right? So it's just an algorithm, and it must have
hit. Not to get political or anything, am I right?
Yeah, so find us on Twitter and Instagram now at Spider-Man TAS Podcast.
And wait, so you say that's it? We just cannot have Facebook anymore?
I appealed it, but apparently that really doesn't do much, and they rarely ever, once they've done it, the algorithm, you know, has done it, they don't change their minds. So maybe it'll come back, but it could take fucking months or a year. So unfortunately, that's dead. So yeah, go follow us on Twitter and Instagram, everybody. If you followed us on Facebook, we're now active only on Twitter and Instagram, at Spider-Man TAS Podcast, or I believe it's at Spider-Man TAS Pod on Twitter. Yeah, so that's that, I guess, with social media stuff and plugs. And anything else in the art life for you before we get on to a Kingpin and Smite?
Yes, I have a book out.
Oh, yeah,
I have
do.
A book out.
Yeah.
I have Vampirella Holiday Special 2021. It came out on the 17th. And it is written and drawn by me. I wrote and drew it. And there are some other backups, but it's a full holiday story where it's a take on Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, where Vampirella is being hunted by three different hunters, the past, the present, and the future, who all use weaponry focused on the timeline that they are associated with.
Yeah, and I love it. I really loved when you pitched that to me and told me what you were doing. I love the art style. You put a hell of a lot of effort into your art along with your writing on this, and it really shows. So go pick it up, because it's a fucking awesome book. I already bought it digitally, by the way.
Oh, cool. Well, I all the reviews have been completely positive, which is great. So it's nice to do that. And I have a few other projects in the works that I'm writing that I can't talk about, which I hopefully will come to light at some point, because I do, you know, I want to be a writer more than art. But the next thing you'll see on the stands by me will be just my art for 34 pages in a book by a big comic book company that I haven't worked for yet, that I'm working for right now.
That you're drawing right now, and I can see it. No one else can. All right, that's amazing.
It's going to be a very flashy book.
All right, you want to do a Kingpin and Smythe before we give the game away?
Yes, mate.
You botched another important operation, Smythe.
You will do as you are told. My name is Alistair Smythe. It seems the new Alistair is just as disappointing as the old.
A crime lord known as the Kingpin.
As you should know, Smythe, in spite of my size, I have the agility of a cat. It is time for me to cut my losses and make a change. No!
Okay, this episode's Kingpin and Smythe scenario has been written in by Kelly Diagino, so a woman.
Kelly Diagino.
I know.
Is that right? That's not racist, right? I don't mean to offend anybody.
No, and I said a woman because it's the Roger Moore line from Moonraker. So, but I'm pointing it out. It's our first female listener that's written in a Kingpin and Smythe, which is awesome. So,
hello.
Kelly has written in. Smythe decides to go on a blind date show and meet someone new as he's sick of Kingpin's bullshit. What show it is, what happens, and who shows up, I'll leave to you guys. So Smythe is going on a blind date show. And I was thinking about this when I read it. Like, do we go first dates where he's going to like a restaurant and he's meeting someone for the first time? Or is it like... he can't even get through the door in his hover chair.
That's not nice.
Well, the hover chair is gigantic. It's so big. How's it gonna?
Well, if it's like the actual first date show, they got the big glass double door. Let's put him in actual first dates. The show.
You want to put him in first dates? The other idea I had was him being on stage and there's three suitors behind like a curtain, and he asks some questions. That was the other.
Like the match game then.
Yeah. So which one would you rather do? Because they both of them sound appealing, but I thought, I'll ask you which way you want to go with it.
Let's do first dates.
Okay, first dates. So he's going to a restaurant and he's meeting his match for the first time. They matched him with...
Here we have. They always have the bass like...
Yeah.
And then he's just like hovering towards the restaurant. You know how they have the shot of him going down the street.
Yep.
Here we have 38. Is that how you think old Smythe is?
38? Sure. That sounds right.
Here we have 38-year-old from London who now resides in New York City, Alistair Smythe. Hello, is this thing on? Yes, I... It's him in the interview thing.
I can create a spider slayer, but I can't get a microphone to work. That's a little
joke. My hobbies include catching Spider-Man, long hovers on the beach, and...
Oh, shit! Oh, man. And, Prometheum X.
Prometheum X. Which is a really good heavy metal band that I've started to get into. Prometheum X.
That's a good name for a metal band, yeah. All right. So who is Kingpin? I mean, who's Smythe matched up with? Is he going to be matched up with someone that we know, or is it just going to be someone random? But also, I was thinking...
The first thing they do is they say, what's the type you're looking for? And as they say it, that's like who's basically walking towards the restaurant. Right.
So is it...
So he'd be like, well, I'm into extremely large men.
That have power.
Hair is not a fuss for me. Yeah, must be powerful, must be rich so they can fund all of my experiments. So who would be coming?
I mean, it's Kingpin, right?
Oh, yeah, you know how sometimes they get matched up with people that they've been with before?
Yeah.
It's just Kingpin down like, hello, I am Wilson Fisk, a.k.a. the King of Inner Crime. I mean, the Kingpin of wine. Yes, I am what do they call them? Sommeliers or whatever it says?
Sommeliers?
Smelliers? Yes, I am a smelly A.
I have a smelly A.
I am a smelly A-hole, yes. Quite very smelly, so it means I'm very good at telling you the difference between wine. This, for instance, is a white. So I recently was left, and you know when they suddenly go into like the sad music? Like, dun, dun,
dun, dun, oh, dun. Yeah, yeah.
In a relationship for about 7 years. Is that how long they made it? Two years. Sorry. I wasn't a very good partner. I didn't keep track of things. My obsession with my ex-boyfriend, Spider-Man, took over my relationship, and I kind of cheated on my partner with a man whose face was half human and half
mutant.
Snot with a egg yolk for an eyeball. It's more appealing than it sounds. I found it kind of raunchy. Hey, old callback. So I did. My boyfriend did leave me, but I guess I'm ready to spread my wings and fly to find a new boyfriend. So, what type of person are you looking for? Well, someone with a keen 80s fashion sense. You know, it's my favorite time of year. Yeah. Sorry, it's been a while since I've done one of these, so I'm. Walking is optional, but I don't walk much myself, as you can see. For ages I told myself it was, you know, I only had a, you know, it was mostly muscle, but who am I? The only person I was kidding was myself, really.
Well, he would also want someone with a brain, right? Like, I'm more into brains than I am and body.
I like someone who can challenge me mentally, not physically, though. I have to be stronger than them. I like long walks on the beach. I like hunting Spider-Man. I've gotten into croquet recently.
Croquet. Okay, so they're there. Okay, so what happens is it's usually
an English accent as well. Yes.
So Smythe is going to show up first, and he's going to be at the bar, and he's going to order his drink, and be asked by Merlin the bartender like the same questions: who are you looking for? Who are you hoping to come through that door? And then
drink. So what's Smythe going to have to drink?
I don't know, a cocktail of some kind, probably.
Martini. Stirred, not shaken.
A painkiller. And then in Waddles.
Is there not a science-y style cocktail?
I have no idea. Why are you getting hung up on this detail?
Sorry, it's because I'm a writer now, so I have to think about all the little details, you see.
So in walks Kingpin, and they'll lock eyes, and it's the, oh my god. And then Fred will be like, you two know each other?
Your bald head, it is shining so radiantly in the English sun. All right, thank you. You're are you my date? You're very attractive.
I like the beard.
It's a English accent, not French, so.
Negative points to you. Do you think that they would sit down, though? Like, once they realise, like, okay, we're on a date, we know each other. Do you think that they would end up starting to fight? Or do you think that they would, like, start to rekindle? Like, and make up what went wrong and overcome it? Because the romantic in me wants to be like, okay, they'll sit down and go over, like, well, you did sleep with Professor Langdon, who looked like roadkill on half of his body.
He does look a bit like avocado on toast, I will admit that.
He does look like
with a fried egg cracked on top.
Oh my god.
Look, I'm freaky shit and you know, I needed it elsewhere.
I'm the kinkpin now.
I was never opposed to an open relationship, sir. What? It's the cheating I have a problem with, sir, but, you know, if I could be your number one, I'm happy to have a number two on the side. Are you serious, Matt?
This is news to me. I can get Scorpion and Dr. Octopus down here and we'll have many hands to play with, if you know what I'm saying. I think that that's a lovely way for them to rekindle.
I'm taking Fred out for drinks after this.
So and then I can see
just
them
gave me a hand job in the bathroom, so
I can see them rekindling though, where they sit down like, so do you want to see each other again? And I can see them both lovingly staring at each other sitting in those chairs.
And you are what's the first? No size. Okay, we're doing together. First, 3, 2, 1. Yes. And then they have the follow up at the end, don't they? Where it's like they show they fade in and out like the snapshots of them like laughing next to each other, like kissing and like hugging, and it's like, let's check in on them.
Yeah, they always have the update at the end, but I feel like the update at the end will be like, Smythe and Kingpin had a great night out. And soon realize an open relationship didn't work for them and sadly have parted ways since then. It's always a letdown.
It's always
isn't
a major
it? You think like, oh.
They had one more date and that was it.
Yeah. And that will be the end of our Kingpin and Smythe scenario going on a date. Thanks for writing in. What was your name, Kelly?
What's your name, Kelly?
Oh, damn.
Hey, Kelly, what's your name again?
It's been a while. We always brush the dust off with these Kingpin and Spy scenarios, but it gets the people going. It's what brings the listeners in, I think. And if you do like this podcast, and if you do like some of our Kingpin and Spy scenarios, because they're not all bangers, please be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. A 5-star review, whether you just rate us or you send in that review, is greatly appreciated, and we love seeing it. We've had some reviews recently, actually. Do you want me to read a review for you lately on our podcast? All right, let me have a look. Let me get a little look here. Go under there, and let's have a little look at the reviews. What have we got? So this one is from Mr. Marvel 700. 5 stars. It's a great podcast. Mr. Marvel 700 says, they done really good work. They done really good work.
But they done really good work
yeah. on keeping everybody that's listening entertained. They talk to people that worked on the show, review episodes, and do a thing called Kingpin and Smythe Scenario where the two lovebirds, Kingpin and Smythe, have adventures and do some very funny stuff like get a dog and does come dine with
me. Oh, yeah.
So there we go.
It is baby crime. Who is all better now?
Come dine with me was good. He's all fine. All right, so moving on then. You want to do some news? Some what's going on in the world of comic book news?
Yeah.
Our first bit of news is just a brief chat about this Morbius movie that's still apparently coming out. I always forget about.
Morbius.
Do you have any interest in seeing Jared Leto as Morbius?
I don't think he's the worst casting for Morbius, but am I dying to see a Morbius-centric film? No, but if it's any good, then it's good. So.
Yeah, I'm very surprised. But they're not surprised that Sony's doing this because they are just kind of any Spider-Man character they're giving a film to after the success of the Venom movies. Whether you like them or don't like them, they've done really well. So I can see them. They're going to be doing a Kraven movie, aren't they? And they're just going to be ramping up Spider-Man villains having their own sort of anti-hero type stories. So yeah, Morbius is coming out. I completely forgot about that until I saw a trailer again recently, and I was like, oh yeah, that movie does exist. Next bit of news, Kathleen Kennedy, her contract has been extended and will remain the Lucasfilm president until 2024. So I'm bringing that up because I saw a lot of hate for Kathleen Kennedy on the sequels, the Star Wars sequels, and people saying, why is she still the president of Lucasfilm? Those sequels are awful. But at the same time, without Kathleen Kennedy, we wouldn't have The Mandalorian, and we wouldn't have all these shows that are coming out. So, you know, she's the one that has to green light that. She's the one that has to approve all of that. And she's not the one that the sequels.
No. She hired J.J. Abrams to do that. So if anybody's to blame, it's J.J. Abrams for those sequels.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just think that, yeah, the sequels, in my opinion, are not good. I think that the ship is steering towards a better direction now. I feel like the sequels may have just been a kind of learning curve, really, of like, it looks like you can't just make Star Wars and everyone will love it. I mean, those movies still made a crap ton of money. And
they did, yeah.
I'm sure down the line, you know, just like the prequels, more content will come out surrounding it to make the films make more sense, to make you enjoy them more. Because, you know, watching the sequels and then watching the prequels, it makes the prequels look like fucking Citizen Kane. Like, I really like the prequels now, and I was always, like, not super in, like, I always loved the first one for nostalgia, and the third one's always been good, but I never liked the second one. But I watched the second one now, and I really enjoy it. So I think we'll see. I mean, yeah, Mandalorian's amazing.
Book of Boba.
There's Book of Boba. Hopefully, will be good. I mean, it's Robert Rodriguez making Star Wars. I'm there.
Yeah.
So the ship is going in a very interesting direction. I think that they tried to make something. Star Wars fans are the most toxic fan base in the world, anyway. We'll see what happens. You know, who knows?
Yeah, I think her helming the ship is still a great choice. You know, I think she's done a lot, and she's not had the full creative control, but she's approved some stinkers and she's approved some absolute gems. I mean, The Mandalorian is still the best Star Wars since The Empire Strikes Back. You know, it's fucking incredible.
Yeah, without Mando, I could see her probably being on the chopping block, but I think that show, and I mean, my God, think of I would be bold enough to say that Baby Yoda merchandise has probably made more than the sequel merchandise, like that alone, right?
I wouldn't be surprised. And then also we're forgetting other ones, like, granted, Solo is not really liked, but we saw that and we had a good fun with that movie. And then of course you got Rogue One, which is an amazing Star Wars
film. Rogue One is an excellent film. Yeah, so I think yeah, I'm not upset that she's not been canned. It doesn't make any difference to me, really.
Yeah. Well, to continue with Kathleen Kennedy news, you know Rogue Squadron, the movie that's coming out in a couple of years?
Oh, my God, I totally forgot that they're making a Rogue Squadron movie. That trailer made me cry.
Yeah. It was an amazing trailer with Patty Jenkins, the director of the Wonder Woman movies, talking about how her dad was a pilot.
Yeah.
This movie means a lot to her. Well, unfortunately, it has been delayed and potentially possibly cancelled. It's not sure yet, but it's definitely been delayed due to creative differences between Kathleen Kennedy and Patty Jenkins. So,
okay.
Whenever we hear that, usually it ends up being... so-and-so has left the project. And if Kathleen Kennedy has been extended till 2024, then I don't think she's going to be the one that folds here, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of over movies a bit right now, personally. I think TV is way more fun and way better, a much better medium to explore and develop and let things breathe. Because everyone's when it comes to those big movies, people are just trying to make, the next Harry Potter or anything like that, and they're trying to set up for sequels and stuff without really thinking it through. Where a TV show is, no, you have to commit to a full story arc now. Like, yeah, this is season one. You can leave a little teaser for season two at the end, but you have to complete a whole story in a season of TV. And I think that's the place. That's where I get most of my content from now. You know, the announcement of a Morbius movie doesn't excite me, but if someone was like, we're making a Morbius TV show, I'd kind of be more into that.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. excuse me. Yeah, we'll see what happens with Star Wars and with movies and with shows. I agree. I mean, TV, I've been going to TV a lot more than I've been watching movies recently as well, although I watch more movies than you do. I still give them a chance. I tend to be let down more. Like, I'll talk about this at the end, and it's done well at the box office, but I saw the latest Ghostbusters, and I felt let down. I felt like it was just, let's cram in as much nostalgia as possible, and let's pretend like the story is actually cohesive when it really isn't a great story, and just went on way too long. It was like 2 hours and 20 minutes, and I was like, this could have been 90 minutes. Like, let's wrap this shit up. Anyway, I'll talk about that at the end. Next bit of news is X-Men, the animated series, is returning with a new season to Disney+. You saw this news, didn't you?
I did, and I was kind of shocked seeing all my, like, editors I've worked with at Marvel being like, what? Like, they were like, wait, what? I'm like, why didn't Disney let them know about this, right?
Like, yeah, I'm surprised.
There's a dude I saw that edited the... X-Men 92 comic book that came out a couple years ago, and he saw the announcement. He's like, oh my god, I'm like, why would you not tell the guy that edited the book, like, that there's a new show coming out?
It's crazy. I think that's great, though. I mean, I know we didn't end up being big fans of the X-Men animated series. We fell in love with Spider-Man and Batman around that age, and I've tried to go back and watch some X-Men, but I think nostalgia again holds a big place in what keeps people really interested in that show, watching it at the prime age of, you know, 10 or 11 years old. And I still think, even with that it's awesome that they're doing that. I think it would be amazing to lead the way for other shows to come back. John Semper has said he hasn't had a call about Spider-Man the animated series coming back, so if it is, it has nothing to do with him. But There's no rumor that it is either. But with a show like X-Men, wouldn't it be cool if even they had Spider-Man, Christopher Daniel Barnes, come back and do an episode in X-Men as Spider-Man? I think that would be wicked. You know, X-Men has showed up. X-Men has showed up in Spidey, so that would be fun to do something like that.
Any idea how that show ended, the X-Men show?
I think the last episode wasn't supposed to be a finale. Like, it was like they thought they were going to have another season, much like Spider-Man the animated series. They didn't know that it was going to be done after that, so maybe they're going to pick up where they left off, you know, and can continue the series. We'll see. Other announcements from Disney: there's a Moon Knight show. There was a little teaser for that. Did you watch that teaser with Oscar Isaac as Moon Knight?
No.
It was okay. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan or know much about the characters, so I don't judge. I thought some of the visuals looked really cool, but not so sure about his character interpretation. But he might nail it because I don't know the character, so he could be doing really well.
I can't decide if I like Oscar Isaac or not.
Right? Why?
Because I watched a bit of that new Dune movie, and I was like, oh, I like him in this. And then I watch Star Wars, I'm like, I hate you, Oscar Isaac. And then I watch a movie where he's like a Nazi hunter, I'm like, oh, I like Oscar Isaac. So the roles he's taken, a lot of them are interesting. And that's why I'm, you know, he's going to be playing Snake in Metal Gear Solid. And I'm like,
oh my God,
he better fucking bring it for that role.
Yeah, I totally forgot that he's playing Snake.
Yeah, he's solid fucking Snake.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't have a raspy voice, like, he's like, yeah, I'm Snake. I'm solid Snake. I'll be like, no, Oscar. No, I am. Somehow, I am solid Snake.
I'm solid. This is solid. Another announcement about Spider-Man is there will be a Spider-Man cartoon. It's called Spider-Man Freshman Year, and apparently it focuses on Tom Holland's Spider-Man, so the MCU version of Spider-Man, and his freshman year of high school and being Spider-Man for the first time. So we might see Uncle Ben. We might see him getting bitten by the spider. I don't think it's necessary.
Is he doing the voice?
No, it's not been confirmed that he's doing the voice. So, and they'll probably find someone that sounds like Tom Holland, especially a younger version of him. Freshman year, you're what, 13? Going on 14, something like that. But I don't think it's that necessary, because I was thinking about this. If it's the MCU version of Spider-Man, one, the best part about the MCU version of Spider-Man is they skipped all of the origin stuff, because we fucking know how he becomes Spider-Man. We know who Uncle Ben is. We know he dies and he gets
attacked. Yeah, but his parents might be secret agents, Wig.
Oh, I can't deal with that either. So,
it might be like that Hey Arnold episode. Do you remember that?
Oh my God.
His parents are like in a plane crash and they're secret agents.
That is the plot of Amazing Spider-Man 2, isn't it? It's the Hey Arnold episode. But yeah, I think that's kind of pointless. And then I was also thinking, oh, so his villains, there's going to be so many that we don't get to see, because they're not going to do Mysterio. They're not going to do Vulture, obviously, because we've seen the origins of those characters. They're doing Dr. Octopus and Green Goblin and all these other versions from alternate universes in No Way Home. So it's not like we're going to see a Green Goblin in that universe and have never heard about a Green Goblin before. So what villains are they even going to be able to use for that Spider-Man, where you're going to be like, oh, that makes sense that they fit in when he was 14 and now...
That's a huge rogues gallery.
Well, we've seen Shocker already, haven't we?
You can have the Rose.
Oh, yeah. The best Spider-Man villain ever, the Rose.
Jekyll, you could have, what's his name?
Do you want to watch a Spider-Man cartoon? Dude. Do you want to watch a Spider-Man cartoon where they don't have, like, any of the Sinister Six or his great villains or Kingpin or anything, and they've just got fucking the Rose and the Jekyll? Or Jackal?
Jackal, that's it. Yeah. There's so many more as well. There's tons of villains that they're probably never going to use in the Marvel Universe.
We'll see.
What's his name? There's a pumpkin head guy, Jack-o'-lantern.
Cool. So we've got Jackal and Jack-o'-lantern. What a sinister team up that will be. It will be a Halloween episode. It will be so much fun. I think I'll probably end up watching an episode to see what it's like, but it doesn't sound promising. Especially with older Spider-Man cartoons recently, the animation has been a bit weird. Other announcements, there's a Marvel Zombies show that's coming out. Did you see that?
Okay.
It's a cartoon.
No.
I know you didn't like the What If episode. I don't think they'll continue that, because that's in like its own contained story, but I guess they're doing a whole Marvel Zombies show now.
Well, if it's good, then I'm in, because I love that book. But a cartoon that is not, I don't know if that's the best medium for it. Unless all I need to know is, what is the rating? Can a kid watch this?
I don't know. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the rating will be a big teller of what it's going to be like.
Because I want to see Ant-Man taking bits of Black Panther's body off and apologizing to him and eating them. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then we've also got some random DC news. There's a rumor going around.
DC, you say?
DC, I'm talking about DC. There's a rumor going around that the next Batman movie, they've already, apparently the rumor is that they've already cast the Joker in an actor, Barry Keegan, I think it's pronounced. He is in Dunkirk. He's the young guy that's on the boat with his father, I believe, that's going in. So it's,
certainly has a face.
Yeah, Barry Keegan. His brother, I forget his brother's first name, but his brother tweeted out, so excited for my brother and the news with DC, and then quickly deleted the tweet. So that was a big teller.
How are you old? I mean, I could definitely, if you look at his face, you could see him being the Joker, but
yes,
he looks, 29 years old, a Joker younger than me. Oh, I'm crossing a thing now, aren't I?
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a day where I'm going to be older. There's going to be a day where I'm going to be older than the next James Bond. And that's the threshold for me. It's going to be weird. But yeah, that is the rumor that Barry Keegan is going to be the Joker to what's his face is Batman. What's his name? Why can't I think of his name right now?
Robert Oswald. look at a picture of him here. He looks like Greg Capullo's short-haired Joker.
He does, yeah. Robert Pattinson is who I'm thinking of. So that's the rumor right now.
Well, he's, like I said, which he's leads, got the face which leads for me, it, so let's do it.
Which leads me to ask you, because we haven't done this in a while, and we don't have to speak great lengths on it, but what did you think about the Batman trailer that came out like a month ago?
I thought it looked cool.
I thought it looked fucking great. Yeah, I agree. I'm really excited to see.
And if it's like by the books, Batman, movie's all I'm about. Okay with that, you know?
Yeah, it looks gritty. It looks more detective. It looks like him working with Gordon more and like early days of their relationship. And I think Catwoman looks great. I think the whole Riddler thing really intrigues me. What's his name as Penguin blows my mind. That's Colin Farrell underneath that makeup. I think he looks incredible. So yeah, I'm really pumped for that. And then finally, because we have to talk about it, the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer was released a few days ago. What did you think of the No Way Home trailer that is now the most watched trailer in the world?
Can I tell you that I'm really just not very excited?
Of course you can tell me that. I want to hear what you think.
It's a fun idea, but maybe I'm being a bit overexposed to all this multiverse stuff. And that newest trailer also just felt like the whole story chopped into, like, it went like narratively along, didn't it? It was like, hey, I'm gonna do this. Oh, it's not working, so I need to do this. And it's like, stop giving me all the major plot points. Like, just show me cool imagery. Right. Just told me the whole story. Like, this is why him and Doctor Strange are gonna fight. I'm like, I didn't want to know this, but okay, I know now.
Yeah, true. And,
look, it'd be cool if. The thing is this movie's been hyped up so much, right? Like, everyone's waiting for these three fucking Spider-Men to be flying around together, and they haven't given it to us. I saw that thing because I know you're going to bring it up, where they showed the trailer of, like, the lizard getting punched by nothing. So they're saying, oh, they removed another Spider-Man from that.
Did you see what John Cena tweeted out?
Oh, no. Did he?
He said, I was in the trailer. You just couldn't see me, and I'm the one who punched the lizard.
That's fun. I like that.
That's amazing. Yeah, me too. And that's clearly obvious that there's going to be, that shot is going to have three Spider-Men in it.
Maybe it's because I'm not a Spider-Man 2 fan. So, I totally understand if you love Spider-Man, because loads of people say it's like the best superhero movie ever. And that's their opinion, and they're totally entitled to it. Look, I don't trust my own opinion. My favorite sandwich is a peanut butter cucumber sandwich. So that's me. So don't listen to anything I say. I'm very aware that my opinion is not the best opinion in the world. But
sure.
But in my opinion, I just, I don't know, that his Dr. Octopus doesn't excite me, so having him back, I felt a bit, like, numb to it. I was like, all right, there he is. And, like, even Goblin flying around, I'm like, aren't you dead? Like, we're going to explain that, I guess.
Well, this is what I don't understand. There were, that, and again, at least they didn't explain it in the trailer. That's something that they're obviously going to have to explain. And the whole thing is, Doctor Strange says they all die fighting Spider-Man, which is obviously why Spider-Man and Doctor Strange have an upset in this, because Spider-Man for some reason doesn't want them to die fighting Spider-Man. I don't know why he feels bad for them and all of that, but
maybe it's because
he remained to be shown.
When Mysterio died, it caused all this chaos in his life. And also maybe,
but
the death of his uncle makes him anti-death.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Well, hopefully they'll explain it well, and it will make sense. But I got excited hearing Willem Dafoe talk, and
I kind of wish Willem Dafoe
I got excited
was the head honcho and not Dr. Ock. I feel like
that's not Goblin necessarily true, bud.
Bigger to me than Dr. Octopus. He's just Dr. Octopus.
You don't know that. But you don't know that. You don't know that Doc Ock is in charge of all this.
He's the head bad guy with all the talking lines.
I don't know. Well,
why would you advertise that in a movie with focusing all on just one villain when he's not the head one? Like, it's clear that he's the head villain.
We'll see. I mean, we've only got five villains that we've seen, and why would you do five and not six? So I feel like there's someone being left out here.
It's Harry Osborn from the Andrew Garfield movies with his warty face.
No.
Don't come near me. I have a bad disease.
Well, the rumor is it might be Venom. Because
because
Venom is due to cross over.
Well, yeah, because he was in that post-credit thing.
Yeah, so that's a rumor as well. Which, this is why I'm not excited,
because I really like what they've done with Spider-Man in these newer films. And this movie is just shoehorning in my opinion, worse Spider-Man movies. And I kind of just don't want it in my Spider-Man, you know?
Right.
I'm like, Tom Holland's Spider-Man is perfection. And this movie also seems like a, hey, by the way, we're kind of taking this character back. So deal with it. And I'm not looking forward to that.
No, I know what you're saying, and there's a lot to hate more than there is to love about those previous Spider-Man films. Again, in my opinion, that's how I feel. I am excited at the prospect of all three of them coming together, and I'm really intrigued of how they're going to bring these universes together and what they're going to do. I think it's going to be the biggest film of all time. I think it's going to be Endgame. I really do. The hype around this movie is insane. Yeah, I really do.
Yeah, the hype around Endgame was the penultimate film that connected all of these other films together, which already had one film before where everyone fucking half the universe died. That was a major play. And to be honest, that play was so big that they kind of shot themselves in the foot, because they need to now make new arcs to live up to the Thanos arc, and we'll see if they can do that.
I think nostalgia is going to play a big part in this. I agree that I'm not super excited about where Marvel films are going in general. I like Shang-Chi. Well, I like the first half of it. I like the first half of Black Widow, but didn't like the ends of both those movies. I haven't seen The Eternals. I'm not interested in seeing The Eternals. I thought the shows were kind of subpar. You know, I felt like we really didn't need all of those shows, but yeah, we did anyway. I am excited about Hawkeye, but I could be wrong. That could be bad as well. It could be a letdown. So Marvel hasn't excited me, but I am really interested to see where this Spider-Man movie goes, what it does. And I think nostalgia is going to sell a load of tickets. And that's why they didn't put them in the trailer, because they're like, yeah, this fucking nostalgia is going to bring people in.
What did we say on this podcast before? I said, oh man, I wish that they never even mentioned they would be in it, because what an amazing surprise going to the theaters to see them. And you said your counter argument was, yeah, but they got to put butts in seats so they would show them. And I was like, that makes sense. But now this seems like they're doing my method. So now I'm against my idea only because there's been mentions that they're in it. So I'm like, well, if they are in it, and you know what? If Marvel's like, guys, we didn't put them in the movie, we got to do some reshoots or something, because people are now expecting these fuckers to be in this thing. Because what if their plan all along was how could you have villains come back, not other Spider-Men? Like, could you? They'd be like, oh, fuck. And then they'd see everyone talking about it. They'd be like, well, that's a much better fucking idea. Well, we got to do that now.
Who knows? The shots, I mean, you can't trust a trailer these days. A lot of those shots, I feel like, were altered. And we'll see, when we go and see the movie, who's in the actual shots once we watch it.
You're going to go to the theatres and see that?
Fuck yeah, I am. Yeah, of course I am. I know you're probably not, which is cool. I mean, you do your own thing, and I hope things aren't spoilt for you and you manage to stay away long enough.
I'm okay if they are.
Well, that's how you want to live your life. That's how you want to live your life, you know? There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I'm looking forward to this new Grateful Dead movie that's going to be made by Martin Scorsese, so that's what's on my radar.
Oh, yeah, who's playing Jared?
Jonah Hill, which is an interesting choice.
That's right. It's an interesting choice. From Spider-Man trailer.
Right, but Scorsese's also got an Apple TV movie coming out. Yeah. With Leonardo DiCaprio, I'm looking forward to as well. And it's Adam McKay. He's got a new movie coming out on Netflix with Leo. And I love Adam McKay now. I mean, I've always loved Adam McKay because of Step Brothers and Anchorman. But now that he's switched to more serious stuff, like the Dick Cheney movie stuff, I think he's amazing because he does what I like, which is, it's just dark comedy where there's like the tiniest hints of something funny. Like, you know, the dude's funny, but he's giving you drama. And like, that's what I aspire to do myself. So I guess maybe I'm just a bit burnt out on superheroes as I sit here drawing a superhero comic.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I mean, you know, it's not your job exactly, because obviously you're not part of making these movies, but you are making stories, drawing them or writing them around these characters, so you know you can kind of get hung up in those versions of those stories.
It is a very big part
and of... not have as much interest.
Yeah, maybe it's because I do it for a day job. It's like I maybe have a bit of overexposure to superhero content. That's what I think it is.
Yeah, and also the market is oversaturated with superhero content right now anyway. It's crazy. Well, let's talk about a superhero show next, shall we? While we're from here the 90s. In the first place. Let's review this episode.
How do you know about stuff like this?
Hey, who do I look like? The Tick? My spider sense is going bonkers. I'm not sure I understand it all myself, but here's what I know.
Are you ready?
Go for it!
You're here amongst friends.
What's that in your hand?
It's some kind of recording device, I found.
I can't believe this! How could they get it so wrong?
Now there's nowhere Spider-Man can run. At last he'll get what he deserves.
Thanks, Aunt May. I needed that.
This is something you have trouble remembering?
Hey, I hear that kind of thing 2-3 times a week.
Face it, Tiger. You just hit the jackpot.
Alright, so this episode is called Return of Kraven. It came out February 22nd, 1997. Featuring voice actors. Why does it always do this for me? I gotta stop trying to go to IMDb because I try to click on it and it doesn't work, and I have this problem every time. And I queue it up expecting it to work and it doesn't. All right. Voice actors: Christopher Daniel Barnes as Peter Parker in Spider-Man, Linda Gary as Aunt May, Jennifer Hale as Black Cat Felicia Hardy, Nita Talbot as Anastasia Hardy, Patrick Labiotto as Flash Thompson, Liz Georges as Deborah Whitman, Gary Imhoff as Harry Osborn, Greg Berger as Kraven the Hunter and Sergei Kravenoff, Joseph Campanella as Dr. Kurt Connors, and Susan Bobian as Calypso and Dr. Mariah Crawford. This episode was also written by Meg McLaughlin. So some fun facts about this episode for you. Well, this isn't so fun. This is more sad. This is the last episode where Aunt May is voiced by Linda Gary. Aww. Linda Gary has voiced Aunt May this entire way through. Sadly, she died of brain cancer soon after this episode came out, which is sad. So this is our last Aunt May appearance. And I quite like her last appearance as well, because she basically gives Peter some sass. And she's like all happy she has a key to Aunt Anna's house. Did you see that bit in the beginning?
Make sure you water all my plants, Peter.
It's just like, should I ring the bell? And Aunt May's like, no, she gave me a key. She's so happy about it. Like, I got a key. Other fun facts. The stray cat that Black Cat saves from being run over by Kraven is not named in this episode. However, a character model sheet reveals that the cat's name is Fogarty.
Fogarty.
So that's
well, apparently Spider-Man hates cats.
Yeah, apparently.
He's like, why did you save this cat? She was like, what are you talking about? It's like, why? Why did you save a cat's life? It's like, Spider-Man, calm down, dude.
Spider-Man, like, sees a little spider about to be run over and saves the spider instead. We got more fun facts. When Black Cat asks what Calypso means, Spider-Man tells her Calypso was a goddess that gave life to Odysseus. This is actually not true. In Greek mythology, Calypso was a nymph, not a goddess, that held Odysseus captive to make him her immortal husband. So she was sex-crazed, and she held a man captive to make him her immortal husband. In the comics, Calypso was a voodoo priestess from Haiti. After meeting Kraven, they formed a love-hate relationship, and Calypso enjoyed driving Kraven into fits of rage and furthering his hatred of Spider-Man. So again, not like the comics, but they kind of blended the character of Calypso with Dr. Mariah Crawford for this episode. Alright, well, question right off the bat for you. What did you think of this episode?
It seems like every cartoon has an episode like this. The Simpsons has Treehouse of Horrors, where they turn all into animals. The Batman the Animated Series has Catwoman turning into a cat. And then this has just, like, another person turning into, like, a more natural animal thing. I mean, they've already kind of did it with the man spider, but this is more on the nose with that. And
do you know what it reminded me of? Do you remember the Batman the Animated Series episode, the second one, where the Man-Bat's wife is the Man-Bat?
Yes.
It reminded me of a worser version of that episode, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I just think it's like that, I guess, Dr. Moreau, like that type of thing is just a rite of passage, I suppose. It's just, you gotta have an episode that's like that.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I get your point. They've done it with Man-Spider and stuff, but it was very much in the vein of, like, Batman the Animated Series, where you think it's the Man-Bat, but it's actually his wife. And in this episode, you're supposed to think it's Kraven, but it's not. It's Mariah, which is so obvious from the get-go. There was no fooling me. I was like, it's definitely Mariah within the first 5 seconds. I was like, it ain't Kraven.
There's a big plot hole in this episode, by the way, because Kraven, he doesn't take the serum anymore, right? So he's not as strong as he used to be, right? That's what we're saying, right?
But he does
take it. Yes, I'm talking about before he takes it.
Yes.
Did you see how he got to taking the serum? He ripped off steel doors of a locked cabinet and then took the serum. I was like, I thought this guy didn't have these powers anymore.
That's true. Yeah, that's some superpower shit right there. So I thought the whole beginning was also really kind of like odd in transition. Like you had Spider-Man dropping off Aunt May at Aunt Anna's, which doesn't come into play later. I don't get why that was part of the plot. You know what I mean? Like, why was that there?
Maybe it comes up in a later episode or something.
Maybe, that's true. To then web-slinging away and being like, man, I miss MJ. To then meeting with Felicia and her mum to discuss, like, science budgets. To then Kraven randomly breaking in. And that all happened in, like, 60 seconds.
Or maybe they did it so that he could start reminiscing about Mary Jane, because that whole scene is, I'm going to this lady's house. She hasn't been the same since Mary Jane's been gone. And then he's like, yeah, me neither. I'm going to just web swing and talk about Mary Jane. Could literally just be used for that.
Yeah, I think you're right, but also not really needed. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need him pining over MJ for 20 seconds when he's worried about, like, other shit in the next scene with Kraven randomly showing up. I know it's Spidey where he's got loads of problems. I just felt like it wasn't flushed out well. It wasn't kind of
flushed out?
Paced.
Do you mean fleshed out?
Whatever. Fleshed out.
It wasn't
you.
Flushed
the
out.
The dialogue
well, like
wasn't
my poo in the toilet that clogged it. Been there for days and it's starting to really stink.
Oh God, I forgot that I say shit like this.
All right, boys, flesh him out.
When Craven escapes the fight, he climbs up a stack of barrels.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's really funny. All right, boss.
All right, we get
him
it.
Out.
Listen, when
it's a good story, but it wasn't really flushed out.
When Craven escapes up a stack of barrels to a window, I was wondering why the fuck were all those barrels stacked up like that to the window? So many, and I'm like, what's in those
almost
barrels?
Be like, that's how I'm going to get out of here one day. Just gonna one barrel at a time. Gonna stack them up like that window.
What do you think of Black Cat's superhero chain scene? Because I almost forgot that she's the Black Cat because it's been a while since we watched the show again. And I was like, oh, there's Felicia. And then suddenly she's like putting on a mask. And I was like, oh, yeah, she's the Black Cat now. I forgot.
She forget.
I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. Also, Felicia, Black Cat, Spider-Man the Animated Series, she can get it. She can get it. She is unbelievable. Even Flash Thompson is like in awe of her when she shows up later. Like Flash is like fucking drooling over her. It's ridiculous. Spider-Man referring to Black Cat as the superhero version of Aunt May. It just got me thinking of a whole spin-off series where Aunt May is the Black Cat. Just how funny that would be. Just like her, like, well, hi, Spider. What's happening? Trying to be all sexy.
Cat got your
this
tongue.
Kitten's got claws. Yeah. She does like a little tongue motion, like
she like licks her lips with an open mouth. With no,
sorry,
no teeth.
My mouth's dry. Oh God, all dry. I need a glass of water.
I need a glass of milk. Meow.
And the costume just like tight in the worst places and saggy. In the worst.
She's wearing a tip like a scarf.
Oh, that's how she swings around Manhattan. She just throws her tits over a flagpole and swings. Here I come, Spider. Oh man, yeah. Just crack me up.
Well, that's disgusting.
There are so many flashbacks in this episode as well. If you hadn't seen the show, you'd be like, all right, half this episode was like flashbacks. This reminds me of when I first met Craven. This reminds me when Craven did this. This reminds me of how Felicia became the Black Cat.
It was Exposition City, wasn't it?
It was crazy. I was like, what? Why are we showing Felicia becoming the Black Cat when the last episode before this was Felicia becoming the Black Cat? I know it's Marvel method.
A big break.
But goddamn. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the team up. Shut the
fuck
up.
That's what that yup was. Yeah, I wasn't listening to what you said. What did I say?
No, you more broke up there, so. You broke up there, so that's why I said it.
I read it, and I was like, bam!
Right on. What did you think of the team up of Black Cat and Spidey? Do you like them together as a team?
I do. Black Cat's one of my favorite Spider-Man characters.
Is she?
Yeah, she's awesome. She's got the powers of Captain America, and I'm not huge. Like, I like Catwoman, but if I had to choose between the two, I would choose Black Cat. I just think she's much more of an appealing character to me,
especially in this show, this version. You mean?
All versions for me personally.
Okay. I think this show, I like this version of Black Cat more than I like. Oh, I don't know. As I said that, I'm not sure because I really do like the animated version of Catwoman as well from Batman the Animated Series. But I think this one is, yeah, her story is fleshed out more. so I think
really
I like it more. But I like Catwoman
really
more
fleshed
than I like
out, Catwoman. Like a fresh vegetable.
So there's a scene in this episode where Craven is driving a forklift around, and that's when he almost kills that cat and all of this shit. Yeah, and he's so slow. Why are you snorting like a pig?
I'm still laughing at fresh and flush and flesh. I think I might be the only one that finds this funny, but it just reminds you of Ricky from Trailer Park Boys, like
I know.
Oh, it's so funny.
There is a line actually in this episode that is very like random and doesn't make any sense. Speaking of things that are said wrong, I forget who says this as well, but someone says, "Tragedy is as strong as acid; it dissolves everything but the cold of truth." I think Craven, that's Craven says that says it. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, what does that mean? Tragedy is strong as acid; it dissolves everything but the cold of truth. What? What are you fucking talking about?
Yeah, that makes no sense.
It makes no sense. And why is acid being brought in this in the first place?
I know. I just took some instead of my serum, and I'm kind of thinking, this lady looks like a big monster to me. Anyone else seen that? And I heard that Martin Scorsese is making a Grateful Dead movie, huh?
And why is the black cat as Aunt May? What's going on there?
This sandwich is really fresh out. Mm.
In the scene with the forklift, did you see how slow Craven was driving that forklift? And it's weird seeing Craven drive a forklift in the first place, where he's just like, I'd come into this forklift and I'd drive it around this rooftop very slowly. And everyone's acting like he's driving it like at 1,000 miles per hour. And it just reminded me of that Austin Powers scene with the steamroller, where it's just like, no!
Run over Michael McDonald, who's just going, no!
So I do like the team up of Flash and Deborah. It felt very Scooby-Doo, the two of them. It felt like Velma and Fred.
Yeah, they make a cute couple.
From the Scooby-Doo team. Yeah. But as I said earlier, I laugh really hard when Black Cat is talking to Flash and like Flash is giving her love heart eyes and Deborah's all jealous. Like Flash is just like, yeah, whatever you say. And then just showing Black Cat's body off as much as possible. And I was like, the animators must have been like, what are we drawing here? And they just showed her ass.
Oh, really?
Like, well sculpted her ass
anytime
is?
I see
Flash
now, I just think like, you're going to lose your legs and become Venom.
Kurt Connors makes a random appearance in this episode in bed.
I clocked out like halfway through the episode where, and then I realized like, oh shit, I'm going to be reviewing this. I need to pay attention. I clocked out.
You know what, bud? Me too.
I clocked out when he was talking about acid. And then, so basically the bit you're talking about now. And then I clocked back in when they revealed that she was like the thing, because it was the flashback to Africa. And I was like, is it racist that like the curtains that they use like on the patients had like hole rips in them? Like what, they can't even have like normal curtain rips in them? I mean curtains, like they all were like patchy and holy. I was like, is that racist? And then I was like,
it's just
he gives her the serum to survive and she has a miraculous recovery. Wouldn't she give it to everybody else like that is suffering? Because there was a room of people suffering in there.
Yeah, that's a
and
good
then
point.
Taken back to New York to recuperate. I was like, "You're very privileged." It's like, I survived this to let everyone else die from it. I'm going to go back to Manhattan and have a kippy poo.
And also, when we see her in bed when she changes, I was like, "Oh, I guess Mariah and Craven sleep separately then," because Craven comes into the bedroom.
Well, she's
and he's like, "Mariah,"
so she needs space to rest.
I guess so. I guess, but, like, they came back together and all of that stuff. Like, I don't know.
Maybe that was their shared bed. It was a minor thing. She was just sleeping and he wasn't.
But Craven comes in and, like, what's the name? I'm not going to call it a wife beater. I hate that it's called that. And that's the only... I know. It's a terrible thing. It's such a... Is it a tank top?
It's a white tank top.
Okay, I didn't know that's what it's called for men. The only reason I said that is just from New Jersey roots being young in the 90s, and like that's what people called it, which is terrible.
The whole point was learning empathy over time and realizing that some of the things we say are offensive. Look, I guarantee you there's things I've said on this show that are incredibly offensive, and if I have offended anybody, I am very sorry. That's not my intention. I'm just
I'm sure
privileged white guy that doesn't know any better, and fucking right, you should tell me better, and I'm here to learn.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways,
if we have
a wife
tweeter, But Kraven looked fucking ripped. Even I was just like, Kraven from Spider-Man the Animated Series? He can get it. He can get it.
He definitely had Tom Selleck going on with that fat daddy mustache.
He did. Yeah, that thing was thick.
It's not thick, if you know what I'm saying.
So they changed Mariah back super quick. They were like, so Mariah's this evil monster, and then grab her, inject her, she's fine.
Yeah, that was that was done. Okay.
They really wrapped that up. And then Peter moves in with Harry at the end, and that's the end of the episode. And again, as you said, like, every show has this episode, and maybe it's because we haven't reviewed an episode in a long time of this show, so I was kind of looking forward, like, okay, we're watching the next episode, going to review it. And if we were doing the show more regularly and we watched this episode, maybe
it was.
I'd feel differently about it, but I was let down.
It's okay to say the episode sucked, but it was a bad episode.
It was, but I'm wondering, is it because of the circumstance that, like, we haven't seen this show in a while and we're coming back to it and reviewing this, and I was hoping it was going to be as good as previous episodes that we've watched. But yeah, it was definitely a throwaway episode. This is one that does nothing to the plot. This is the last appearance of Kraven in this show. It's the last time we see
him. Oh, okay.
And I will say that the best part about this episode was Greg Berger as Kraven. Like, his performance as Kraven is great.
It is great, yeah.
I always like seeing him as Kraven. So that was the part that I most enjoyed on this not-so-great episode. So that's the end of this episode. What did you think? Tweet us. Message us on Instagram. Let us know at Spider-Man TAS podcast. I've been really interested to hear what other people think, but I don't think this episode was very good.
I'd say it's the worst episode we've seen so far, I would say.
Would you say that? I was wondering, and I was trying to think, and it's been a while since I remember not liking an episode as much as I did today. So it's definitely up.
Because you were always like, oh man, the Red Rocket Racer, whatever his name is. You were like, oh, that's going to be the worst one. And that ended up being an amazing episode.
It did, yeah.
Where this one was just the only news that comes from it is, I live with Harry now.
Yeah, pretty much. And Aunt May's like having a house party at Anna Watson's house because she's got a key. That's pretty much it. And, like, the whole thing at the end where... And they mentioned Morbius in this with Deborah, and I was like, there's so many callbacks.
Yeah, I did like that. I did like that she's still... Like, they planted the seed that she's still very much interested in how Morbius is doing.
Yeah, because Felicia, it was the one who's in love with him, but she's not as hung up. But I think it's because she's now the Black Cat and got Spider-Man, and things are different in her life, where not much has changed for Deborah. Anyway, the next episode that we're watching is called Partners, and it's an Alistair Smythe episode.
No, Smithy Poo.
But it's Robot Smythe now.
Oh, no. Smythe.
Yeah, we don't have any more regular in a
hover chair. Sexbot Smythe.
We don't have any censor threat this week, unless you've got anything you can point out that was breaking censorship rules in this episode. I saw
being
nothing.
Being a dick to the house cats. So in this universe, they're basically saying that in that situation, Spider-Man would have let a house cat die. Because he said to Black Cat, why the fuck you waste your fucking time saving this fucking house cat? And she was like, you need to grow empathy for more living creatures. He was like, yeah, whatever, bro. I got shit to deal with. I'm Spider-Man.
You don't want to be a hero, trust me. You got all bent out of shape.
And she basically said, you know, I want to do stuff in my powers. I've been given these, so I want to help. Basically, aka great power, great responsibility. He's like, yeah, I know all that shit, bro, but house cats, fuck that. I'm a dog guy.
So no sense of script besides that. If there's other ones that I've missed, again, tweet at us, let us know. Okay, you ready for... I want a jingle for a friendly neighborhood quiz game from you.
It's the... Boom, boom, ba-dum, 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 friendly neighborhood quiz game! Yeah!
Oh, that was the best one so far. I like that one. That was good. I like the... Boom, ba-dum, ba-dum. Okay. Question one for you. What weapon in Kraven's arsenal is stronger than Spider-Man's webbing in this episode?
My cock.
Nope.
No? What weapon in his arsenal? Stronger than his webbing. His fucking biceps, bro. Poof, poof.
Nope. Spider-Man even says, it's stronger than my webbing.
My cock.
My mustache. Yeah.
Raw sex appeal.
You give up?
I can get it.
You give up? It's his bola. His bola wire that he throws and wraps around Spider-Man. Question two. What did Spider-Man say the powder did to his head? It make it pound like a...
spider.
Nope. Kraven throws some powder at Spider-Man, and he's kind of knocked unconscious, and he's like, my head, it's pounding like a...
I was not listening to that bit. You could tell I was...
jungle drum.
You could tell I was really into this one.
Yeah, yeah. Jungle drum is the answer to that one. Finish the line. This hunt is not my passion. It is my what?
Life?
Kraven says it. Nope. Kraven says, this hunt is not my passion. It is my...
destiny?
And Black Cat calls back to it later on in the episode as well. Wow. I mean, I didn't really pay attention, but you really did not pay attention. You're like, pictures are moving on my TV.
I told you, I caught myself realizing that I probably missed about 7 whole minutes of the episode. I was like, oh, fuck. I was eating my sandwich. I was like, oh, this sandwich is good. What other type of sandwich?
What did you spend 7 minutes thinking about your sandwich? Sandwiches? 7 minutes.
Other sandwiches that I enjoy.
Okay, the answer is, this hunt is not my passion, it is my tragedy. Question four. The Williamsburg Bridge leads to what part of New York City? And I will give you multiple choice for this, because Spider-Man does say, that's the Williamsburg Bridge. It either leads to Harlem, Brooklyn, Manhattan.
Brooklyn.
Yep, correct. What color was Harry's robe when he answered the door to Peter?
I wasn't looking.
I'll give you options.
Red.
It is either...
or is it? Hopefully it's green. That would make the most sense.
It's not, but it's another color. That's why I put it in here. Because not only was his robe this color, but the entire apartment, was this color. And I was like, Peter, you want to live here?
Brown?
It's not green. What's the other color that...
blue?
Goblin wears.
Yellow?
Purple? Are you serious? The other color that... yes, thank you. Purple. Fucking hell. The entire apartment was purple. I was like, what the fuck is... can I live here? Oh, I don't know, man. I mean, I guess there's a lot of room. There's a lot of purple as well. Come on in, Pete. There's a lot of purple there. All
absolutely
right.
Flush with purple. Is him.
You're such a son of a bitch. You can say flush in part, like, flush him out. You can say
flush him out, like, boys.
No, it's flush him out for that.
Flush him out, boys.
All right,
Subway, eat flash.
What's this pig snort that you have going on now, dude?
It's because I'm so fat that I'm snorting like the pig that I fucking am.
Oh, shit. All right, our last segment of the day is what you're doing with your life.
Gaining weight, what are you feeling watching? Great.
What are you watching or reading or listening to recently?
Me and my wife are rewatching Dexter, which has been fun because there's the new season out and we had nothing else to watch, so we decided to jump back into that and rediscover it, and it's been really interesting. Just finished the 4th season, which I always remembered being my favorite, but maybe it was like a great to experience for the first time because it was not my favorite that I've watched so far. Actually,
what's been the favorite?
My favorite season has been season 3, which I think is your least favorite, isn't it?
That's the Miguel season.
I really like that actor who plays Miguel. I like him in everything he's in. And this time around, I just really like that character where he learned how to kill because of Dexter and like lied to him and kind of betrayed him and started killing people that were innocent. And that whole story was really, really interesting to me and my wife this time. And then season 4 was great because, I mean, this is going to be spoiler alert if none of you have ever seen Dexter. So turn off now if you never listened to this. But my wife has pretty much forgotten everything that happens in Dexter. And we're watching the Trinity season. And I'm like,
she doesn't know that he kills Rita. And I was just sitting there the whole time. I'm just sitting there and just watching it. And like, I saw him drive off, you know, like before Dexter catches him. And I'm like, there he goes, killing fucking Rita. And then afterwards.
And she didn't remember. Oh,
she was like, ah, he got him. Like, what? Because like, what a fucking creep he was. And at the end, he walks in, and you know, the baby's crying on the floor, covered in blood, and reason about that. She's like, oh my god! I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, he's the one that kills him.
Yeah, because his son shows up in this new season.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh yeah, that's the son of Rita. That's nuts. That must have been a fun thing to revisit then, because that's such a cool twist in that season.
She was like, "Oh my, any of this."
What else are you delving into?
What else am I doing? I got the new Jurassic Park game, which is fun.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But it's not as good as the first game, so I'm kind of waiting until they update it a bit. That's not very interesting news.
I didn't think you were going to like it as much, because usually you message me loads if you're really into something, and you're like, I'm getting the game today, bud. And then you were silent, and I didn't hear anything about it. And I was like, oh, I don't think he likes it.
Well, they've done this stupid thing where, so you have a challenge mode, right? Like in the last game, you start on one island, you build up the park, you build enough funds that you go to the next island, and you continue building on all of the islands of Isla Nublar and all that area until you've got a fully fledged Jurassic World. And you progress that way. But in this game, it's like, all right, you have a challenge. Like, for instance, you need to build a Jurassic Park in the UK. I was like, awesome, let's do it. I started building it up. I was researching, learning new dinosaurs, all the stuff. And I was like, congratulations, you got a 5-star place. Now move on to the next one. So I was like, oh, I've spent so much time researching velociraptors that in my next island, I'm going to put velociraptors in it. But in this game, when you go to a new island, you have to start the whole process again. So I thought me banking everything to build in the previous one would be translated into the next one. It's not. You start from stage one again. I was like, I don't have the time to sit here and do all this. I'm playing this on my break. Like, I just want to build fucking raptors and earn points. So what I did was I just downloaded someone's save file where they unlocked everything. I was like, whatever, I ain't got time for this. And now everything's unlocked. I have no really reason to play it right now, so I'm just not playing it.
Oh, that's a shame. Oh, shit. well, hopefully they have some new content that you can make worthwhile in that game.
Oh, they
because will. Games are expensive, man.
Yeah, I'm not rich right now, and that cost me 50 quid.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. So I was
kind of let down by
What am I watching? I saw Ghostbusters, the new film. It's done well with audience critics. It was like not as well received as regular audience goers. And I went in because I had like an afternoon where I wasn't doing anything, and I was like, yeah, I'll go watch this. Like, I like the Ghostbusters. I'm not crazy about them, but I like Ghostbusters for what they are, and you know, how it kind of all plays out, and that Saturday Night Live feel to it, along with busting ghosts and mixing genres with horror and comedy. I thought that was always a standout for me. This takes it very seriously, this movie. It takes the Ghostbusters world very seriously. And I won't spoil anything, so I won't go into spoilers for those that haven't seen it yet. But yeah, I thought overall it was a heavily nostalgia filled film where they were relying a lot on remember this from this movie and remember this character and remember this scene and remember this and remember these people and remember this callback. And granted, I'm not the biggest fan, but I caught most of what they were saying and what they were referring to, but it wasn't like it was well woven into that story. You know, it was like, it was a distraction from the main storyline, which really wasn't that, like, fun. The main storyline wasn't, it was simple, which I appreciate, but it was a 2-hour and 20-minute movie. And I'm like, this simple storyline could have been 90 minutes. Like, the middle really slaps in this movie, where I was like, let's fucking go here. Like, let's get some Ghostbusting going, for real. Yeah, I kind of felt really underwhelmed by it, and I felt like it was very much like Star Wars, what they did with the sequels, where they relied a lot on, remember these characters, and remember this nostalgia, and remember this, and remember that, and not really caring about the plot of the movie, or redoing a similar plot of another movie. So I felt like that's what they kind of did with Ghostbusters, and that's becoming a template now. And it was very sort of Stranger Things feeling to it, where I was like, Stranger Things, they did it better. And there was no like, you know how in the Ghostbusters 1 there's a few horror moments where you're like, oh, that's kind of spooky, yeah. And Ghostbusters 2. There's none of that in this. There wasn't one scene where I was like, that's kind of spooky.
You gotta have a spooky like, scene. Look at seven heads in the subway. That's some good shit.
Yeah. None of that was going on here. So I was let down by...
I think so many people struggle today just to make something that's fun. Like, I just want to have fun watching something. Like, the last big movie I watched that was like, we're just going to have fun, to me, was Guardians of the Galaxy. It was like, I'm just gonna, let's just have a good time. Let's watch a movie. Stakes are pretty low. Let's have a fun fucking time. And that's I don't know, maybe in this... Because our world is so dark right now. I'm not striving for serious content. I'm striving to escape and just have a good time. Like, and that adds longevity for me as well. If I have a good time watching something, I want to feel that good time again. I don't need someone's like Max Oprah of fucking Ghostbusters. Anyway, I'm not going to see that movie. I'm not a huge Ghostbusters fan, but if you are and you enjoyed it, then good for you.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, it's doing well, and I'm sure it will probably have another sequel made, because that's just how these things go now. And as you said, they're not making movies as standalone stories now. They're like, and we're just setting it up for another universe and trying to create our whole universe and a franchise, and here we go again.
Every movie's trying to be like what restaurants do, right? Every restaurant owner's like, franchise.
Yeah. I saw that. I don't think I've seen much else that's coming to mind that you haven't mentioned, like New Dexter I'm watching. There's a few movies and stuff that I watched recently.
New Curb Enthusiasm.
Which is kind of... Yeah, New Curb, that's been good. I actually just watched that new episode today before recording. But, yeah, I mean, the only thing I'm looking forward to that might be, as you said, fun, looking for fun, is the new Hawkeye show. I think that might be hopefully fun. It looks fun. And that comes out this week. You know that, right? That comes out in like a couple of days.
Well, I'm looking forward to it too, because the book it's based off of is amazing. I remember I introduced it to you. I said, Bud, you got to read this. Like, it's good stuff. And you did. And you liked it. It looks, like you said, it looks fun. And that's what I'm looking for. Like, to me,
it looks like Die Hard.
Yeah, that's obviously what they're going for. Have you seen all the stuff about like people trying to get the artists paid? Sorry, I dropped my phone. You've seen all the stuff about like people wanting the artists to get more royalties from that, because the aesthetic of the show, all the posters they did, are completely what the artists established, and they're like, you should pay them more. And there's just a huge like moral debate on the internet of people saying, well, they signed a contract that said this is your work for hire, you get paid this royalty scheme if you do this. And that's that they went into it knowing what they were doing. And then there's other people saying, sure, but like, if you were doing such a good job, like at your job, and they offered you a bonus, would you say to them, why are you giving me this money when I already just earned this money? Like, that doesn't make any sense. You know? So there's a big debate on that. Me as an artist. Yeah. Give them fucking more money. I'd like absolutely more money, please. So yeah. Because, you know, obviously they're going to make the Great Lakes Avengers one day, and I'm going to make tons of money.
Yeah, you'll be like, that's my costume that I designed.
Yeah, there's a character I created.
Yeah. There's other things coming out. Obviously, we got Book of Boba and the new Matrix coming out in like a month. So, and obviously, Spider-Man coming out in a month.
Hyped for the new Matrix.
December's going to be crazy. New Matrix, new Spider-Man, new Star Wars show.
Christmas.
December's going to be great. Christmas. Yeah, and go to squeeze in all the Christmas movies as well. So
I watched a bunch this weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to. And I hope we get a Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer soon, because I'm really looking forward to seeing what that show is going to be about, the look and feel of that show. I'm super excited for that.
Yeah, I agree. I would like to see something from that.
And that's the show, bud, I think. Is there anything you want to add before we get going?
Just head on down to your local comic store and pick up Vampirella Holiday Special 2021, written and drawn by yours truly. And guess what? The story is not taking itself seriously. It's all just about having a bit of fun. As
you say, serially?
I said it was very serially. It's full of golden grahams and cinnamon toast crunchs.
It's not a serial story?
It's not serial. Well, it is. It's standalone? It is actually standalone. It's not serialized. Yep, it's very flash and fresh. And what's the other one you said?
I don't know, but you're being super serial right now, and I don't like it.
Being very serial.
yeah, go pick up that book. It's a good read. It's a fun time, and I'm looking forward to more stuff to come from you. Yeah, we'll be back whenever. I hope maybe we could do. We did last year. What do you think about this year? We did a Spider-Man the Animated Series Christmas quiz last year, if you remember. Do you remember doing that? We did like a sort of Boxing Day bumper quiz where I asked you a bunch of questions and listeners could play along as well. Want to do something like that again this year?
Sure.
Towards the end of the year.
I'm a Christmas nut, so.
Yeah, we'll do a Christmas special. And then at the start of 2022, we'll come back to reviewing more episodes. Again, for all of us that still, for all of you that still listen to us, we greatly appreciate you guys following along. We understand that we're not putting out loads of content like we used to. We'd love to be able to put out an episode every 2 weeks, but for obvious reasons we mentioned, Will's super busy writing, drawing. I'm also busy trying to run my own business. So it's hard to find time that matches for both of us, where we can sit down and chat. But when we do have that time, then we do sit down, we do have a chat, and you'll have episodes as much as we can put them out. So, yeah, we're still going to go, and we're not going to stop until we finish this whole show, until we've reviewed every episode. That's what we said when we started, and by God, we're going to do it!
In my 40s by the time that happens.
Well, you're already, like, 40 as a...
My back is like killing me doing this interview podcast. I'm tired.
I mean, your back hurts whenever. I loved how we recently went to London and you're like, I'm doing well, bud, like I'm walking around and I feel great, and then within minutes of saying that you're like, oh, my back.
it was hours into it. My back didn't start hurting until we were just approaching going to the whiskey tasting. So that was pretty damn good.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that whiskey tasting was fun. Anyway, we'll chat loads more about Spider-Man the Animated Series and everything else to come after that as well. So that's all the time we've got for this week. Join us next time. We'll continue talking all things Spider-Man the Animated Series. Until then, I've been Alex Robson.
I've been Will Robson.
And remember, with a great podcast comes great recordability.
So long, farewell, go fuck yourself and die.
You better hope we come back and do another episode, and that's the last thing you see to our listeners for 2021.
That's fine. Put it on my gravestone.
Bye.
Oh, it's the winter time, so my skin is a mess. I watched this interesting thing, because you know how I've had dandruff my whole life?
Yeah.
It's like, apparently, like, it's one of those things where it either affects you or it doesn't. I think it's like 45% of the population, or 30. They just have, like, incurable dandruff, and it's all to do with these little creatures that, like, live in your scalp and produce it. And then I was like, great. So just, like, all this time I've thought, like, oh, I can I've been on a mythical quest to find the cure, and there just isn't one.
Imagine that's what happens in like a Lord of the Rings movie or something. Like, we're on a mythical quest. It's like, no, there's no cure for this. Sorry, Frodo, your hair's going to be dandruffy for the rest of your life.
What about male pattern baldness? Oh, wrong place.
Yeah. So there's a lot of raunchy stuff on this show that I've captured on on record.
Raunchy? I thought raunchy was like sex stuff.
I mean, I guess maybe raunchy could also be
like when they say like it's a raunchy comedy, and it's like people being like, "So last night I was bone and down."
I'm not sure if it does. I think raunchy can also be used as like grotesque.
Why don't you look it up?
I will look it up. I'm doing that right now. Raunchy meaning. Oh, I think you're right. Energetically earthy and sexually explicit.
There we go.
Shabby or grubby. Okay. I've captured a lot of foul noises on this show. How about that?
That's fine. I want to hear this part. Put it at the end of the episode.
Do you know how long it takes me to boot up this fucking piece of shit computer? I ain't searching for that and trying to put that in. It will probably kill the computer.
If you've been a good boy, maybe Father Christmas will help out this year.
That would be nice.
All the relatives I've talked to, they're like, so Alexander wants a laptop. Well, I just can't afford that for him. I'm like, he's not asking you to purchase the laptop. He's saying, helping towards it. Like, but I just can't buy him a laptop. Oh. I'm like, oh my God, it doesn't work. And so I can't buy a laptop. So therefore I will just get him
a bottle of vodka. Of
whiskey that he's never drinking.
Exactly. I was just going to say, it'd be like, I'm sorry I couldn't get the laptop for you, darling. So here's a bottle of Smirnoff. I know it's your favorite. And I'd be like, ah, fuck.
Yes, because James Bond likes Smirnoff. That's right.
Belvedere. Give me that Belvedere. And even so, like, I got enough booze. Give me some money. I'll take 20 quid and a hand job. Like, let's go.
A hand job from the relatives.
Nah. I'll do that bit myself.
To get you, so pull your trousers down.
What, no lube?
I know you wanted a new laptop, but I got you a lap job. Now pull those trousers down, darling.
Down, 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 down. Down, down.
Podcast.
Alright, you see, this is where we go.
Talk about.
Yeah.
Having shit, your dick tugged by an old lady that's related to you.
Who said anything about a lady?
Oh. Well, me and my dad are the only men left in the family. So.
We got uncles.
Oh, yeah, Uncle Jim and Brian, that's right. Yeah.
Name dropping. First time mentioned.
Shout out to Uncle Jim and Brian.
First time name drop. We're talking about giving handskis. Alright, let's get fucking going, talking about all this weird shit again. You ready?
Bah.
Oh, Jesus. Yep. Clear the throat! Oh. Oh, God. Okay, I'm just gonna go.
What?
Well, just that...
I'm getting ready for my podcast!
Oh, yeah, I know. Such an old man noise. It's like you're just taking a hard poo.
Oh, McDonald's is not good for you.
Nope. All right, here we go. In three.
I don't even know if it's meat.
That's their slogan. McDonald's.
McDonald's.
I don't even know if it's meat.
Vegetarian. Approved?
Question mark. Oh, shit. All right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.